Hey there, St. Andrew's family. I'm Pastor Ethan.
I'm Pastor Matt.
And we are back with another episode of How the Sausage is Made.
Oh, man. So good to be back. So good to be back with you. We missed you last week. Did you have a good vacation and everything?
Yeah, I had a great week seeing family and went to a wedding and just packed as many people as we possibly could into a week's time, you know.
That's awesome.
As you do, but I definitely missed this.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
We missed having Chris James did a good job from Emmanuel Downers Grove, but nothing like being with my brother.
Right.
You know, that's awesome.
No offense, Chris.
But, we love you.
But just kind of doing what we always do. Let's take a look back at last week. Kind of two. You would call them festival weeks in a row. Pentecost going right into Trinity Sunday. And getting to just chew on the profoundness, the mystery of it all, the three in one and the one in three.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you right off the bat, as you started preaching, You kind of laid out, how should we approach this subject of the Trinity?
And
you did it in a really good way. You kind of gave us 3 points.
Yeah.
You said, first, we're just going to acknowledge the mystery.
Yeah, yeah,
right? Just embrace the fact that it is mysterious.
Yes.
And then, yeah, kind of walk us through those 3 points. And how did you get there, and then what was the process like? Because that's how you introduced the sermon. What was the process like using that to then proclaim the
truth? So it was interesting because we covered a lot of ground, and if you kind of look at how many slides they had, it's so many slides and stuff.
Yeah.
It was a lot to cover. But what I knew when we started was we were going to be using the reading from Matthew, right? Mm-hmm. With the festival, you know, the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28, the Great Commission, and then of course you got to read Acts. I mean, it's the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until kind of later in the week that I started to add Ezekiel 34, and it was funny, or not 34, but Ezekiel, the very beginning it and the very end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny to me that process of adding Ezekiel, because I kept going back to Ezekiel just to kind of, in my own head, refresh the picture of the fulfillment Jesus was doing of the Old Testament stuff. That wasn't the obvious connection, but a really powerful connection. And I was just getting a lot of benefit out of it. And it was probably about Thursday morning when I was like, oh, I probably really do need to let people in on this, you know,
right.
Talk to everybody else about this.
Right.
But then it's like, boy, you got the mystery of the Trinity, you got three passages, and one of them's not even listed, and then you're trying to tell the story from the beginning and end of Ezekiel, and it was like, there's just a lot happening, probably too much happening.
Well, but it's a lot to unpack, yeah. And then it was also just like a unique preaching setting, too, having Ms. Boggs' like retirement that same day. It just felt like a crazy Sunday. There were like over the whole place was just overflowed. So I mean, like, kudos to you, because you had a chance to preach the gospel to a lot of people last week.
Well, the funny thing is the Saturday version of the sermon was probably about 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and the Sunday version was about 13 minutes.
Yeah.
So really, just there's so much going on. I knew it was going to be just a lot of people and a lot of moving parts. So I kind of decided on Sunday morning, as I was getting up, like, we're just going to kind of get through this. And so
I feel like people will be curious to get a little insight into that itself. Like, what goes through your mind, and how do you take a sermon and cut it down? Like, how do you decide what to keep and what not to keep?
Yeah, some are easier than others. Usually the things that would get cut are stories or background.
Mm-hmm.
I went into a lot more background on Ezekiel's life.
Gotcha.
On Saturday night, and I think it was beneficial, but on the other hand, you can still tell the story without getting into as much detail and stuff like that. But it was kind of the 3 points of saying, look, we're going to acknowledge this mystery, And I had a couple quotes, one from J.I. Packer and one from Augustine. The Augustine one's my favorite. I don't know it exactly, but it's something along the lines of, like, if you fail to believe in the Trinity, you lose your soul. But if you try to explain it, you lose your mind.
That was great.
Really,
that was great.
I think I love that people get to see that these old church fathers were real people. They were kind of funny. They kind of, you know. So the task was, and you know, if Augustine can't explain it, Matt Hoffman can't explain it.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I'm not going to try to explain it.
That's great.
But then it kind of gets into, then we kind of say, but let's talk about what we do know, right?
Right.
So we don't know this mystery, but we do know these things. And then the thing that we do know along with that on Trinity is just all of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, loves you and calls you his own. And so, I don't know. It was a lot to unpack. Holy Trinity, that Sunday for me is always a challenge. It's always a challenge to write a sermon because it is such a mystery. And I do remember early on in my ministry, maybe my third or fourth year into ministry, I had a vacation planned and I had a guest preacher on Holy Trinity Sunday. And I thought to myself, I should do this every year. Just have somebody else do it.
Oh, that's great. Well, my home church... on Trinity Sunday, every year we read the entire Athanasian Creed together.
Yep.
So maybe, and that's a biggie. That's a long one.
That's a real long
one. Yeah. Maybe we'll bust that out next year.
We could. we generally do it about once every 3 years.
Oh, I like
or so.
It. I like it.
And I always tell people when we do it, the reason we do it is to remind you why we don't do it the other 2 years.
I love it.
So. No, it. I mean, it's obviously one of the ecumenical creeds of the church. I'm just, you know, playing. I'm not trying to be, you know, disrespectful.
Right.
But I mean, it is. It's long, and then there's the ending of it, which is, you know, people kind of think it leaves you with a law. Like, if you do these things, you'll live. If you don't do these things, you'll be eternally condemned. And it's like, you kind of have to explain it. And I don't know. The creed is trying to explain the faith. So when you have to explain the creed, it just gets to be a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like so.
But kind of tying into that, the way, your kind of 3 points at the beginning of your sermon and then really tying it in at the end, just the concept of we can't explain it, but here's what we do know.
Yeah.
All of God loves you. Like,
yeah.
I just loved that phrase. I loved that way of thinking about the Trinity. God and all of himself. Is just for you.
Yeah, it's all about
and,
you. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so I think that came through really beautifully and impactfully. And the sermon I heard on Sunday, I think the shortened version of it came through just very, like, to the point and very simply. You know, I think there was a lot of benefit to how you decided what to leave in, what to cut out. It just made it, here's what we know, here's what we need to know, and here's how much God loves us.
Yeah, it kind of came out like a Ethan Luft sermon a little bit. You always like to get to the what's the very beating heart of this and kind of get rid of everything. It's like, I love how you preach it. It's like, we're going to get to the simple, pared down, this is what it's all about. So, yeah, so that might have been a Luftworthy sermon on Sunday. So.
KISS, right?
Yeah, that's right. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Yeah, I don't know. Silly. Yeah, keep it simple.
Keep it simple, silly.
That's right. Oh man. So no, but it was fun to preach. And then what I'm really excited for, though, thinking about, you know, we have these two festivals. And I, you know, they kind of the marks of the summer, right? You always have Pentecost. Right after Pentecost, you always have Holy Trinity. That's about the time the summer's starting. And then it really feels like summer. The service time has changed. The cottonwood trees are blowing up the parking lot.
Right.
And then we start our summer sermon series this weekend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man.
So it is the Psalms of Summer.
The Summer of Psalms.
Summer of Psalms.
Yeah, the Summer of Psalms.
Sorry, Summer of Psalms. That's right.
Summer
That's
of
right.
Psalms.
It didn't sound right when I was saying it. So thank you for that. But
a lot of S words.
Yeah, the Summer of Psalms. We do spell summer, P-S-U-M-M-E-R. It just seems only right
exactly.
that we do that. You're kicking us off.
Yes,
and,
sir.
We got together and hashed out our game plan, went to Ascension Lutheran Church in Niles, and they let us borrow a classroom with a whiteboard, and you, me, we just sat down there, got our Dunkin' Donuts coffees. You know, served us by Logan Brandfelder, by the way. Remember that?
Yes.
And then we went back over there, and we just started cranking away. And it, I'm excited for the Summer of Psalms.
Yeah.
Tell us about your impressions of getting started, and kind of where you're at in your sermon prep, what you're preaching on, and all that.
Yeah, I guess I'll just say off the bat, I'm excited to be able to walk through just a bit of this book.
We're gonna
spend 12 weeks in it, and I'll probably say something like this this weekend, but we're just barely scratching the surface.
It's so true.
Of the depth and the beauty of the Psalms. But I'll be preaching from Psalm 1, and Psalm 1 and 2 are usually paired together as the introduction to the book. And we'll talk a little bit more about our plan for the summer, and how we've divided it up, and how the book itself is kind of organized. It's a whole bunch of different authors from a big range of time, and their writings and their poems and their songs all put together in a very intentional structure.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool to see that. But getting into some of the content for this week, the book of Psalms opens up with the idea of this blessed man, it says the one who is blessed. And they don't sit with the scoffers, you know. They don't hang out with the sinners. But they delight in the law of the Lord. And this blessed man is one who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. And you really just get into it. It is very short. It's very to the point. But you just get this picture of someone who delights in the law of the Lord. And it says that they're like a stream, or they're like a tree planted by a stream, and they're endeavors prosper, and they're fruitful, and like you just get this really powerful, strong image of what the effects are of delighting in the law of the Lord.
And let's get into that a little bit, because that's a challenge, because most of the time people hear law, right? The law is what convicts you. The law is the bad news. That's the kind of people's impression.
Right. Yeah.
And then to have someone say, "I delight in the law of the Lord." That's a pretty profound refocusing of that idea of what the law is.
Yes, and right now I don't know how much I'm going to dive into what I kind of want to dive into, which is exactly what you're saying, where we hear law, we hear God's law, and our minds, or at least my mind, or maybe you guys can relate, goes to, like, that's the Old Testament, or that's just, you know, the mirror, the curb, and the guide, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's the law is all about the things that I don't live up to, basically.
Right.
You know,
the hammer of the law,
and that's definitely the effects of the law. That's as a sinful, fallen creature, God's law does present to me the things that I don't do, because I live outside of God's law.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes.
Yeah.
But God's law itself, God's will itself, God's design itself is perfect. It's so good.
Yeah.
God in that reality, I hope comes through this weekend. But it's an interesting experience for me, because I was reading this psalm a lot, just like we read it like before staff meetings, and like, you know, just in kind of devotional time. I read it before like a premarital counseling meeting. Like I was just reading it a lot, and I would always read it through the lens of like, I want to be that man. I want to be the man who meditates on the law day and night, you know, who delights in the law. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad way of reading it, but we're going to read it differently this weekend.
Okay. Well,
and and I don't want to, like, I mean, you can probably guess, like, where it's going to go. Well, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus.
I'm a pretty good guess.
But,
probably going to involve Jesus. Yes, probably. Yeah, spoiler alert. We're going to talk about Jesus.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to, like, keep my cards close to my chest for some reason. But, but Jesus is the lens through which we ought to read the psalm, and the lens through which we ought to read the rest of the book of Psalms. And I hope that's what we also see is as we start this series, the Psalms, they're going to show us things that we need to work on. They're going to show, they're going to motivate us, they're going to inspire us, they're going to give us words that we can speak back to God ourselves. But at the heart of it, they're showing us Jesus.
Well, and I think that's gonna, that what you mentioned, that it's going to be so instructive, because that is, like you, that you just said it. That's how we read all of Psalms. That's how Jesus tells us to read Psalms, right? Luke 24, right? With starting there, he showed them how the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Psalms and the prophets pointed to him. Like he tells us that he's the fulfillment of the Psalms.
Right.
And a little bit of the structure we get into is that the Psalms are written in basically put into five different books within the book of Psalms, and each of those books kind of mirrors their respective counterpart in the first five books of the Bible and the Torah, or the law of the Lord, or Moses, whatever you want to call it. But it is interesting, and there's some stuff for next week that really going to mirror creation and point to creation, which is Genesis, you know, the Genesis account.
So I am really excited for Psalm 19.
I'm looking forward to getting to that too. Absolutely, but I'm excited for you to introduce this big topic and kind of lay it out for us. And you know, if you have to boil down Psalm 1 to one phrase, what do you boil it down to?
One phrase. I guess, I'm going to reveal, like, the punchline to my sermon.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not sort of the punchline or anything, but... or just some words that would summarize. If someone says, what's Psalm 1 about?
Yeah, what's Psalm 1 about? It's about Jesus.
It's about Jesus, okay. That's fair.
Psalm 1, I would say Jesus is the man.
Okay.
If I was going to put it as simply as I possibly could. That's what
blessed is the man, and Jesus is the man.
Jesus is the man.
That's cool.
Yep.
That's so cool. Rock on, man. Well, good. Well, I tell you what, man. Let's. I'm excited to hear you preach. I'm excited to get started with this series, and let me pray us out here.
Yeah, please do.
Lord God, I thank you for your word. We thank you for your law. We thank you for the Psalms, the songbook, largely written by David, but written by others, that points us to you. And Lord, we see. In the very beginning of this, just the laying out of what it means to be wise, what it means to be blessed, what it means to follow you. And Lord, we ask that you would be with Ethan, Pastor Ethan, as he guides us through the beginning part of this psalm, and then it kind of opens the door to help us look down this long road that's going to be 12 weeks of looking at the Psalms and connecting them to the New Testament, just as Jesus said they're all about him. Help us to... help us to fulfill that task throughout the whole summer, and help Ethan to just through your Holy Spirit to lay down that great, great and solid groundwork for us to get started on this journey this weekend. All these things we pray in Christ's name.
Amen.
All right. Well, thanks so much, St. Andrews. Great to be with you. We'll see you this weekend.
See you guys.